Good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to this press conference to mark the launch of the new FX Global Code. I am Chris Salmon, Executive Director for Markets at the Bank of England, and I chaired the Global Foreign Exchange Committee meeting yesterday that led to the final endorsement of the code. I'm joined on the panel today on my left by Guy Debelle, who is Chair of the BIS Foreign Exchange Working Group, which led this work, and is Deputy Governor of the Reserve Bank of Australia. On his left, David Poof, who chaired the Market Participants Group during this process and is CEO of CLS. And on my right, Simon Potter, Executive Vice President at the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, who led the work on code drafting. As you will be aware, there is a UK general election campaign ongoing, which means public officials like myself are purdered. So my role today is to act as host. And I am unfortunately unable to answer any questions. However, my three colleagues will be more than able to do so. In terms of housekeeping, before we open up, if you're in the room when you ask a question, we'll give you a microphone. Please wait for that and then state your name and organisation. There are a number of journalists who are dialing in. We'll take a few questions from the floor, then we'll open up for you to ask down the phone line. But could you mute until we turn the questions over to you? Before we start, Guy and then David will take some opening remarks, and we'll start with the Q&A. Guy.
Thanks very much, Chris, and thanks you all to coming today. So today marks the culmination of 2 years' effort to develop the FX Global Code and the associated adherence mechanisms. This work has been very much a public-private sector partnership. We on the central banking side have been ably and vigorously supported in this work by a group of market participants, some 40-odd, chaired by David on my left. David's group contains people from all around the world on the buy side, including corporates and asset managers, the sell side, trading platforms, ECNs, non-bank participants from right around the world. So all parts of the market have been involved in the drafting of the code to make sure all perspectives are heard and appropriately reflected. So let me first start about why this work has been going on. So the foreign exchange industry has been suffering from a lack of trust in its functioning. And this lack of trust was evident both between participants in the market and, at least as importantly, between the public and the market. So the market needed to move towards a more favourable and desirable location and allow participants to have much greater confidence that the market is functioning appropriately. So in that regard, the code sets out global principles of good practice in the FX market to provide a common set of guidance to the market as to what constitutes good practice. This will help to restore confidence and promote the effective functioning of the wholesale FX market. So there are two important things worth highlighting. First of all, it's a single code for the whole industry. And second, it's a global code. So on the first point, the code is today supplanting the existing codes that have been present in the FX market for a number of years. Importantly, the code covers all of the wholesale foreign exchange industry. So this is not a code for just the sell side. It is there for the sell side, the buy side, non-banks and platforms. Its breadth is both across the globe and across the whole structure of the industry. On the global point, it's important to know that our group contained representatives from the central banks and private sector from all the largest 15 FX centres, including both developed and emerging markets. The complete code, here it is, comprises 55 principles spanning all aspects of the market from execution to the back office. The principles are written in plain language and should be easily read and understood by market participants. And they are supplemented by a suite of examples to illustrate their practical application. Market participants have had a number of opportunities to comment on the code, principally through the various foreign exchange committees, to ensure all perspectives are appropriately reflected in the code. So throughout this process, we've received well over 10,000 comments. The code reflects our collective judgment as to what constitutes good practice in the market, taking into account that feedback received. I think it is a good outcome that we're able to distill the points of contention down to a very small number of issues. And outside of those, the feedback was reflective of a widely held consensus in the market as to what constitutes good behaviour or good practice. One of our central aims in drafting the code is for it to be principles-based rather than rules-based. And there are a number of reasons why this is so, but for me, an important reason is that the more prescriptive the code is, the easier it is to get around. So rules are much easier to arbitrage than principles. The more prescriptive and the more precise the code, the less people will think about what they're actually doing. If it's principles-based and less prescriptive, then market participants will actually have to think about whether their actions are consistent with the principles of the code. And the emphasis here is very much on the word think. Global code will not provide the answers to all your questions, but it should help you as a market participant ask the right questions. We have developed considerable time and effort to developing a blueprint for facilitating the widespread adoption of the code by market participants, as well as writing this code with about how we'll actually get it to be followed. This blueprint has been published today alongside the code and sets out the key elements we think will be required for the code to be successful and the steps that have been taken and will be taken to ensure that this is the case. So let me just briefly touch upon three of these key elements. First and foremost, market participants themselves need to act to embed the code in their internal practices and then monitor through time how effectively they have done so. An important element of discipline in this regard will need to come from the market itself, and market participants will need to consider how they demonstrate their adherence to each other and more broadly. To facilitate that demonstration of their adherence, what we've provided in the code is a statement of commitment which we've developed. The second element, which firms will then be able to sign and then demonstrate their adherence to the code and display publicly. Secondly, BIS central banks are leading the way and have signalled their commitment by announcing today that they themselves will follow the code and that they expect their FX counterparties to do so. For example, we, the Reserve Bank of Australia, will require that all our counterparties in the FX market will sign the code and demonstrate their adherence to it. In addition, a number of the regional foreign exchange committees will have membership linked with adherence to the code. And again, in the case of Australia, we have already agreed that for to be a member of the Australian Foreign Exchange Committee, you will have to have signed the statement of commitment. Finally, it is vital that the code remains up to date and evolves as the market evolves. So the code is going to be collectively owned, maintained and updated by the Global Foreign Exchange Committee, which met for the first time here yesterday, which will continue the public-private sector partnership which has supported the development of the code. And Chris will be the inaugural chair with David as his vice chair. So that Global Foreign Exchange Committee will regularly assess whether new information or market developments warrant updates or additions being made to the code. And as the first example of this, given the diversity of views that we've received on the use of last look in the market, the GFXC today is requesting feedback on trading in the last look window over the next over the coming months. On a less frequent basis, the GFXC will oversee a more comprehensive review of the code to make sure it stays relevant and up to date. So as I said at the start, this is a culmination of 2 years of work by a group of people from both the private and public sector. The work's reflected a very constructive and cooperative effort between the central banks and market participants. We have all undertaken this work in addition to our regular responsibilities. And this contribution of time and effort by all of us reflects the fact that we all recognise the need to restore the public's faith in the foreign exchange market. And so we all share the view that the Global Code plays an important role in assisting that process and will also help in improving market functioning and confidence in the market. And with that, let me now hand over to David.
Guy, thanks very much. And let me again welcome all of you here this morning. 2 years ago, we set out to do something that quite frankly, we hadn't seen done in any financial market, and that's to bring together a significant number of participants from both the buy side, the sell side, the platforms, along with the public sector, to work on a single global code, to consolidate all of the work that had been done by many foreign exchange organizations around the globe over many years. We needed to do this for several reasons. One, the global financial crisis in and of itself broke the public's trust in financial markets and in financial institutions in general. Subsequent events in the foreign exchange market led to increased concerns about whether the foreign exchange market could, in fact, operate in the way that it had in the past. Our work together over the course of this 2 years has brought together those participants to ensure that we now have a set of principles by which the full market can operate and be guided going forward. The foreign exchange market is a unique market, 24 hours a day, 5.5 days a week. This market operates where market participants can gain a price in virtually every major and many emerging currencies. It has no central regulatory body, and therefore there is no place to come together for one common set of principles. We've now created that common set of principles. Changes in electronic dealing over the past 10 years have leveled the playing field for many market participants, but in some ways it's also created an information disadvantage to some smaller players in the marketplace. while we didn't set out to make the playing field perfectly level, we did want to ensure that we created a level of transparency about how business was being transacted to enable all wholesale market participants to be able to participate in a market with full confidence in its integrity and its smooth functioning. We continued to move forward over the course of 2 years, and I really do want to stress that we took 2 years for a very important reason. We did not think this was something that could be done over a six-month time frame. We really felt, truly felt, that extending this over this period of time would allow us to both take on the most difficult issues that the market was facing while also identifying common practices that had things in which we could take on together. If we look at some of the tougher issues that we tackled, things like information sharing, the definition of agency and principle, and of course, as Guy mentioned last look, we came together to solve those tough issues and to give the market guidance on how it may operate going forward. At the heart of everything we've done is the first principle, and that is that market participants should operate with the highest ethical standards. And if everyone in the market follows that first principle, the rest of the work we've done will come together quite well. So over the course of this 2 years, I think we've put together something that is very powerful, as Guy said, something that we will be able to continue to look back on and revise. It will be a living document. There's a process in place now, starting today, to be able to continue to review the document over the course of the coming years to be able to assess what the impact of the principles are, as well as changes in the marketplace over the course of that time. But I want to stress that the simple release of this document will not by itself do anything to restore the public's trust. It will take our actions and our work together over the coming years to be able to slowly rebuild that trust and make certain that we've been able to create a fair and effective marketplace for all wholesale market participants. I'd now like to hand it back to Chris to open it up for questions.